Welcome to your Found Family podcast, where we don't just have a heart-to-heart, we connect soul to soul. I'm your host, Lizzie, a certified coaching practitioner who found family outside of blood family. In our Found Family, you are accepted and assured that you are not alone. Subscribe and tune in for educational and empowering soul chats with women from all over the world, talking about well-being, personal growth and development, and mental and emotional health. Everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Found Family. I'm really excited. I have another special guest with me today, Hope, and we are going to be talking about finding self-awareness through journaling. Hope Atlas writes her story through poetry, original quotes, and memoirs. Her writing focuses on mental health, addiction, and grief. She has a master's degree in reading education from Syracuse University. She has worked in literacy programs with children and adults. For many years, Hope worked as a bereavement volunteer. Most recently, she has been involved in community outreach programs. She has a personal growth blog in Medium magazine and writes in their mental health community as well. Her writing has been published in online literary journals, and her first book, My Upside Down World, is a personal growth journal encouraging self-awareness through writing. Beautiful. Hope, hello and welcome.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be online with you. Thank you so much, Lizzie. I'm excited.
Of course. Oh, I'm so honored as well. And as we were chatting about just before we hit the button, this is definitely a very beautiful and important topic, especially during these times. So again, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It really is an apropos time with self-awareness right now.
Absolutely. And so to get started, would love to hear a little bit more about your journey. So when did you first start journaling and what does journaling mean to you?
I started journaling when I was about 15. I was in high school. My mother had mental illness, and so I was lonely and I was alone a lot. So I found writing my voice, a way to tell my story.
Beautiful.
So, yeah. Writing, it's a way to express my feelings, a way to express my thoughts. And the best part about writing is no one can judge you. No one can criticize you. I find writing very freeing.
That's so beautiful. Like, well said. I couldn't agree more. And as someone who very similarly around the age of, I think I might have actually been like maybe 11 or 12. It was very early in the middle school years when I very similarly felt like I didn't have a voice in the real world. And I found such a comfort and, you know, this safe haven with my journal because it was a way for me to just talk about whatever it was that I wanted. I could use whatever language I wanted. I could talk about anything and there was no judgment. There was no ridicule. There was no like heaviness of, well, that's not correct and that's not true. And it's like, no, these are my thoughts and how I feel. So I love the way that you said that. It's like short, sweet, to the point. It's like, I can totally relate. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice. And so you've shared with me that your book, My Upside Down World, includes unique quotes and writing prompts for journaling. So I would love if you could tell us a little bit more about these quotes and prompts.
Sure. I guess I always loved quotes. So as a writer, one day I just sat down and was like, well, maybe I can write a quote myself. I sat down within a half an hour, I had about 15 quotes.
Wow.
And in 3 years, I have about 400 quotes. As I started writing my quotes more, I realized that my quotes fit nicely with prompts. So the prompts were able to facilitate my journal writing. Mm. So I have for you just a couple of quotes that I'd love to share with you.
Yes, please.
My very first quote was, "Dreams fly by, waiting to be caught."
Wow. Oh, I just got like chills. That was beautiful. Oh my gosh.
You know, when I look at that quote still today, I think about, so what are my dreams today? What dreams did I have? What dreams can I still have? Am I taking the time to find my dreams? Mm-hmm. And one of my dreams came true. I finally wrote a book.
Yay!
So but I have so many more dreams to do. Another one that actually is very apropos for today, unfortunately, is, "When I look up into the sky, and if I can't see the stars, I'll look tomorrow."
Mm. Wow.
So when I look at that, I've been writing a lot about that. What are the tools that I can use to help me now, maybe in this hour, maybe in this even second, or maybe during the day, that will help me see that perhaps tomorrow will be a better day.
And what a beautiful message of hope and of faith to be able to say, you know, okay, so today I did what I believe to be my best. I did all that I could. And if I can't see the stars, I have tomorrow to look out for them again. And it's just, there's so much comfort and power and hope in that message to really be able to say, okay, tomorrow is a new day. And I love like that image of looking up at the sky and searching for it, because I know I just, you know, in my own personal life, I can agree with you as well and like really relate that sometimes when I'm caught up, especially now, like with the news, with Twitter, with all these different things, it's just, we get bombarded every single day.
Overwhelmed.
It's too easy to get bombarded, but it takes time to search for something to shift gears. So instead of allowing the flow of all the noise to just come in, it's like, take some time to set that aside and go searching, like be intentional about redirecting and refocusing what it is that you're looking for. So I think that, again, that is how I personally interpreted that message as well.
One last quote that I love is when separate petals come together to form a beautiful flower.
Wow.
And I think about who are your petals in your life? Who are my petals in my life? My friends, my family, my teachers, maybe my health professionals, maybe my religious leaders, and how they all together form this beautiful flower in my life. And how can we sustain these petals in our life?
Mm-hmm. And again, the imagery of a petal, it's soft, it's colorful, and to be able to take all of those things and combine them into the flower, that again, it's a very beautiful, uplifting and empowering message. So, oh my gosh, yay. Love that. And I love too what you shared about the prompts and how it helps to really, you know, facilitate this creative flowing. And I've realized this to be true in my own life, that a lot of times where my hiccups are and where I kind of struggle is if I don't find inspiration and things around me. And I actually have, you know, a journal that I purchased like years ago. I found as I was decluttering in this time that we have at home. And it was, you know, some type of like prompt. And I thought, how true is that even in our day-to-day lives, you know, where we're able to take these kinds of prompts and take it beyond the journaling, you know, like what kind of prompt can help me with a project? What kind of prompt can help me in conversation with someone? And I think that kind of creative juice starts with the journaling. And so to be able to use your quotes and use your book as a way to help, you know, inspire new things and new ways to talk and think about things like that is really important. And that's what will help all of us, especially during these times to cope and to manage, I think.
No, definitely. That's the best part. I call it, for my writer's block, sometimes everything's going on in my world, but I don't know exactly what to write about. My book, you can open up, pick any quote, and underneath the prompt, you go, okay, that's affecting me today, or maybe that affected me yesterday, or affected me a long time ago, but I still need to address it. Mm-hmm. And I can sit down and write about it. Mm-hmm. And hopefully change my thinking or change my behavior for it, or somehow see my world a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And I would love to add to this, and I'm sure you and other fellow writers and journalers can agree with this too, but one empowering thing that I've also learned about logging a lot of these, you know, diary entries or journal entries or what have you, is that even if, let's say, there isn't a breakthrough that day or the next day, I've had incredibly empowering and powerful breakthroughs sometimes even like a year or two later. And had I not written it down, I wouldn't have pieced things together. So sometimes there's like an awareness that's a little bit delayed. And that's not even a bad thing, because it's like, it's empowering to write it down and sort of help yourself navigate through your thoughts as you're doing it. And then because you're writing it down, it can help you comfort yourself along the road and show you that maybe something that didn't quite make sense then could make sense now. So it's just this like awesome synergy.
Oh, definitely. And just even to get it out of your brain, sometimes yes. We have so much in our brain that we can't even function.
Oh, God.
So put it down and I write that you don't even have to know if it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Just sometimes you can just put a word, a sentence, it doesn't matter, make it all jumbled, but at least it's on paper and black and white. And yes, you can come back in a couple of days and reflect on it, weeks, next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And so speaking again along the lines of your book, what is your book intended to help others obtain?
Well, as we're starting to talk about the self-awareness, mm-hmm. we're going to look at the quotes and look at the prompt, and we can see by the thoughts or the feelings that we get, we can see that maybe we can change our thoughts. We really sometimes can't change our feelings, but we can change our behaviors. Mm-hmm. We know that we can't change anyone else's behavior. So sometimes we need to look and see what can we do to change ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the more we journal, the more that we write about how we feel and how we think, we can realize that whether or not someone else changes, whether or not our world is changing, we can act differently so that we're calmer.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, that's so true. And again, especially now as we are all quarantined and we're, you know, some people are quarantined with friends, with families, with roommates, with spouses, and there's a lot that we don't have control over. There's a lot of things we can't change right now. And what's important is focusing on the things that we can control and change. And absolutely, our behavior is among the things that we are able to change. And yeah, I mean, self-awareness is such a beautiful, sometimes scary, you know, journey to kind of go on, but absolutely agree with you that if we don't really take the time to ask ourselves questions and like dig deeper on, well, what are my views on this? What do I think? How do I feel? You know, it's validating yourself, which is really, and I'm just going to use that, the beautiful flower that you brought up. It's like opening up those petals, you know, to really like understand the who, what, where, when, and why. And then being able to say, okay, so how can I, you know, what behavior can I change? Can I do something about this? If so, what? And it starts a conversation. Like really it's an inner dialogue initiator.
It is. And sometimes you might even want to present it to a friend, a therapist, a teacher, a religious leader that you feel close to. So these also are prompts that might facilitate jumping off points, conversations with other people that you care in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And we sort of already kind of answered the next question about what can self-awareness do for us and what does it mean to have self-awareness, but we'd love to hear more of your insight and thoughts on that.
When we journal and when we begin to have self-awareness, the world around us, as we're saying, changes. We feel different about ourselves. We feel more confident about ourselves. We get that calmness about ourselves. When we get a self-awareness that, okay, maybe things are need to be different, but this is the only thing I can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have one thing that I would love to share and add as well is there's no right or wrong way to go on a self-awareness journey. And I think that that's, you know, similar to what you were sharing at the beginning of our soul chat is like, you know, this is our individual journey. And I think that was one of the most liberating truths that I internalized when I was really going on this journey myself, was knowing that there was no pressure or knowing that there was no right or wrong way. You know, self-awareness to me also means, you know, really being able to not only just understand myself better, but understand others. And as you said, like the world, because growing up in a very like sheltered household, I've talked about it on social media and other other podcast episodes, but it's this idea of having so much control around you and then using this as a way to, you know, feel less of like the stress and the pressure. And again, I know that continues to help me too while I'm quarantined, you know? So absolutely.
Yeah, we learn about ourselves. We learn about what we can do to make feel good about ourselves. And that's self-awareness. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's listening to someone sing. Maybe it's just sitting and reading a book. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's going on now at Zoom and doing a gentle yoga class, mm-hmm. or a meditation class, or maybe just an exercise class or a relaxation class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually, I was going to say, it's a perfect segue slash, like, we already kind of answered it, but, you know, the question was, how can we develop our self-awareness? So absolutely, every activity and suggestion that you just shared is 100% a way that we can develop our self-awareness. And this is where, again, as we learn more about ourselves, we can also start to speak our own self-love language. So I have a little quiz on my website about finding out what your self-love language is. But in the same way that there's that book out there about how to communicate a love language to a partner in a romantic sense, there's also a self-love language that we have. So for those that are, you know, similar to us, like love writing, you know, I love the mantras, the affirmations, the quotes, being able to write things down, because for me, my love language is words of affirmation. But for others, it could be physical touch. So, you know, giving yourself a massage, doing an exercise, taking a hot bath, you know, those are things that you could do. Otherwise, if it's, you know, gift giving, I know that sometimes, well, especially now, it's like money could be tight for people, but just setting aside, you know, $5-$10 that you would otherwise spend on something else and treat yourself to something, you know, so that, again, it's very exciting. It's like going on an exploration, but it's in your own mind and in your own spirit, you know, and it's, again, scary, but extremely beautiful and rewarding in the long term.
You know, when I write, it's for me, it's way that I'm taking care of myself. But when I take care of myself, that means I'm taking care of others. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't take care of others if I'm not taking care of myself. So that's the part of the self-awareness, that if I'm not doing this for myself, then others around me are going to suffer. And I don't want the people around me to suffer, but absolutely, I first take care of myself. Like you said, self-care.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so again, really perfect segue into the next question about self-care. Are there other self-care practices that you use, and how do you practice self-care for your own personal growth?
Well, I also, some of the things I also mentioned already, I love singing. I myself, you don't want to hear me sing, but but I love just hearing people sing. So whenever I can, doesn't matter what it is, I listen to singing, and that calms me. Mm-hmm. And anything that calms me, I have tried to seek different things. If I study workshops on different, might be something religious, it might be some type of meditation, something that will connect me to my world, connect me to maybe my past, connect me to right now, that I can later go back and reflect, wow, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Meditation, a lot of what I really like is the relaxation, the exercises. Sometimes I have trouble with the meditation of thinking about pink clouds in the sky for me. But if I sit and I'll meditate, think music is meditation for me.
Yeah.
But relaxing my muscles, relaxing, closing my eyes, and those are ways that I'm taking care of myself. I knit. I love to knit. So another way to take care of ourselves is by something that we love to do, a hobby, and my hobby is by knitting. Mm-hmm. Swirly, colorful scarves. And then I give it to people. So that's another way to make you yourself feel good sometimes is, as you were saying, help give it something to someone else. And so I give my scarves to other people.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh my gosh, I love that. And I love how you shared that music is your form of meditation. I think that truthfully, I kind of came to this connection not too long ago. And it seems like such an obvious thing that, like, well, yeah, of course, like music is a form of relaxation. Music is a form of meditation. But I think that especially nowadays where a lot of these things have become very secular, very talked about. There's a lot of, you know, not necessarily cliches, but I think that, you know, with a lot of the buzzwords around like meditation, you get this immediate visual in your head of like some, you know, yogi or like person with like long braided hair, just like sitting cross-legged in the silence. And it, you know, for some people, cause I'm totally like, I was part of this group. I used to think meditation sounds like such a boring thing. Like, I don't know how people can just stop, you know, cause I didn't know much about the, like being proactive with the self-awareness, but I thought it was like, just quiet your mind. Don't think about anything else. Don't listen to anything. I'm like, how boring. That sounds stressful to me. That doesn't sound like something that would calm me down. But again, like going back to what we've both been saying about like making this our own practice, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to be more honest with myself. Like if meditation in that specific way doesn't serve me or doesn't resonate with me, that's fine. Like I can just do it in my own way. And for me, as much as I love like listening to piano music, or there's an artist, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Jag something. I'll have it description and I'll share you the link, but she has two songs that are kind of like mantras. And I heard them first at Gabby Bernstein's event. And it was like incredible to be able to just sit and, you know, sit either cross-legged with a candle or on my bed or something, listening to that made me feel calm and peaceful. But something that might be a little bit of a surprise to some people is that another way that music is like a meditation to me is listening to like techno music. So I'm like a very uppity, you know, like very high energy. My parents used to call me the Energizer Bunny. And for me, my form of meditation is like listening to a very, very high beat, like the frequency of the music, or like a chill step or something. And I cannot explain in words what this music does to me, but it transcends me. Like it gets me into this space that's like, I don't even know where I am. I don't know what time it is. It's this flow, but it's specifically with that kind of music. And again, that could vibe with certain people, and others could be like, oh my God, no, I get heart palpitations if I listen to that kind of beat. But like, again, it depends on you and like how it serves you.
No, I'm going to date myself, but I love Heart when they were Heart, not the. And same thing, that's upbeat and loud, but somehow it puts me in a different, sometimes meditation just puts you in a different world. Doesn't have to always particularly make you peaceful and quiet and want to fall asleep, but put you in a different space, a different world for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, a final kind of question, just I would love to see if there are other parts about your book or other parts of, you know, journaling as a way to become more self-aware that we can either give people, you know, practical tools, or what if someone is afraid to pick up a pen, and you know, what kind of things can you share with someone who right now is listening and is scared or doesn't know how to get started, and how to sort of navigate the way to use journaling to gain the self-awareness?
Well, the biggest thing is not to worry about what you're writing. Start with one word, how you're feeling, or what's your thought for today. And don't worry about it. Maybe not come back to it for a couple days, maybe even a week. Come back and maybe you'll see, okay, that thought, I was scared. Write a sentence. Why were you scared? Or now I'm not scared anymore. Why do you think you're not scared anymore? So journaling is just building up on a couple of words, a couple of thoughts, a couple of feelings. And it doesn't have to make sense at all. And I think that's what people worry about, that it has to make sense. It has to be grammatically correct. It has to have paragraphs and spelling correct. Don't worry about spellings and paragraphs and whether or not it makes sense. Some people journal by putting words all over a page. It doesn't matter. I journal, as we talked in the beginning, by poetry. All my journals are in poems. Some people might find reading, let's say from my book, and find a picture might be the way that the prompt will help them. So it doesn't you don't necessarily have to want to write or even like writing that much, but later on you might go back, oh, what's that picture about? Let me now write a story about it.
Wow. So for those who are watching the YouTube video and not just listening to the audio, I've done a lot of like hand gestures because I'm like, wow, I'm so glad that you said this. Like, I want to take a minute to just like further unpack what you just said. So the first thing that just came to mind is that, again, talking about your book and what you offer is that I didn't even know this, that like you have photo, you know, like pictures and graphics in there.
I don't have pictures.
Oh, you don't? Oh, okay. Totally.
I'm hoping that when you write, sometimes a picture or a graphic will come to your mind from the prompt and you can put that down. Maybe you're an artist and later on you'll take that picture and write about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Cause I was going to say that for some who are more visual, having a prompt that you are providing for them to like create the image in their head, it's a stronger association. I know that I'm a visual. And so even when I was sitting in lesson plans and there weren't graphics or charts or something, if someone could use a metaphor, or as you said with your quotes, you know, the picture of a petal and of a flower, I'm not looking at a flower right now, but I know what a flower looks like. I know what a petal looks like. So I'm able to make that association and form this like stronger bond with your quote because it resonates more with me because I've made that visual. So I think that that's really awesome. And I love that you just shared, you know, about the visualizations and creating that visual in your head. I'm trying to think of like another thing that you said that really stood out. Oh, there were like three things that I was like, I need to come back to that. That was so good. So you said about, oh my gosh. See, now when I go back to the recording, I'm going to be like, oh, Lizzie, that was what you wanted to say. Cause now I'm like, okay, I need to think about this, but I don't want to just stare at the screen. Maybe it'll come to me, but the imagery I think was like, again, one of the biggest takeaways that you mentioned. Not sure if you remember specifically some of the things that you said that you could go rewind.
No.
Yeah. Well, I think that again, like that extra help, I think is like the other big takeaway. And I know we've said this before, is that having the prompt assists people in getting started, you know, cause you were mentioning, what's that?
The jumping off point.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause again, for people who are scared and don't know how, it's like, this is an incredible tool to go through those barriers. I think too, like if someone maybe doesn't start writing in a journal or a diary, I was using my notes app in my phone for a long time. You know, if something would come up, you know, come in my head, like I'm scared, you're right. Even just putting that down, I would start asking myself questions like, okay, so what scared you? Was there something around you? What made you feel that way? I was actually just doing that this morning where like I realized that I was feeling an emotion and then I was sort of backtracking. I'm like, okay, so what might have caused this feeling? And what might have caused that feeling to trigger that feeling? And again, this is all part of the self-awareness, but it starts with a very simple, I feel stressed right now, you know? So just wanted to add to that, but also include that it could even be like a virtual thing. You know, if you're in the middle of, I know we're not commuting to places right now, unless you are. But for me, it was like, if I was on my way to work, you know, commuting on the subway or something, and a thought would pop into my head, instead of stressing about not having a journal or whatever in front of me, I'm like, I'm just going to write it down on my phone.
Right. No, I do that in the middle of the night. I might run and write down something. The best also part about journaling is that the more we journal, the more things change. We'll realize that our world is changing when we journal.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Love it. And when did your book officially become available to the public? Tell us more about where we can get it, how we can find it, all the things.
A week ago.
It came.
So it's real new. I'm on almost any site you can think of, but the main sites that people know, I'm on Amazon. I have both the print book and the ebook on Amazon. I'm on Barnes & Noble, the print and the ebook. And I have iBooks, so on iTunes. Those are the main ones, but you can find them almost anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Great. And I know that I believe we had connected on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So are there other social platforms that you'd like to share with us that we can go and love and support you?
I'm on a Facebook, Quote Hope. People might really like the Quote Hope. If you, it's just Quote Hope is the Facebook, and I post different quotes. I've been trying to post new quotes. I have a nice following there. The Twitter, the Quote Hope. Those are my two. I also am on LinkedIn, and I'll post quotes on LinkedIn as well.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Great. Thank you. Oh my gosh, family, please go and show hope. Yes, go and show Hope all the love and support. And as always, I will have all of the links to Hope's social media posts, to her website, to her books in the description of the episode and on Facebook or on YouTube for those that are watching. It's going to be in the description of this video. So again, I'm so grateful. This was truly a treat, and I'm so happy to talk about your book and spread hope with everyone. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, and we'll be on the lookout for a part two, maybe, if there's another one that comes out.
See, thank you so much. This has been great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and tune in next week for a new topic. To help spread the good vibes, please share this episode with friends and family, or if you share on social, be sure to tag me @CoachLizzie.